This is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Wednesday, March the 14th, 2018. And we will begin today's reading with some news about health rankings show room for improvement. We have a picture of walkers who took advantage of a warmer afternoon Monday, walking their dog on Constitution Trail in Normal. Accessibility to exercise opportunities are among the measurements in the annual county health rankings. Central Illinois counties use the report to identify strengths and challenges. This is by Paul Swish. A respected annual report that ranks the health of residents by county shows that Central Illinois counties are healthy overall, but there's room for improvement. I see it as an opportunity, said Camille Rodriguez, director of the McLean County Health Department. She says, it's not all where we want it to be, but in other areas we have reasons to be proud. The 9th Annual Nationwide County Health Rankings by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute ranked McLean County 23rd of Illinois' 102 counties compared with 19th last year. Pantograph area counties ranked in the top 20 were Piatt in 11th, Woodford 12th, and Tazewell 20th. An accompanying table lists all counties, and the complete report is at www.county-health-rankings.org. I'll repeat that. www.county-health-rankings.org. While Livingston County dropped from 48th to 54th, Aaron Fogarty, Health Education and Marketing Director for the Livingston County Health Department, said, "Over time, our rankings have improved. Logan County improved from 65th to 64th. I'm glad we moved up a spot and hopefully it'll continue to get better," said Kara Davis, director. The article continues on page 2, noting that Kara Davis is also the assistant administrator of Logan County Health Department of Public Health. And the rankings are a measure of how counties are doing on more than 30 factors, including rates of premature death, percentage of people who identify themselves as in poor physical condition and mental health, percentage of low-weight babies, smoking and obesity rates, physical inactivity, excessive drinking, access to health care and unemployment and educational levels. Representatives of several Central Illinois health departments said they were using the data in their planning, including in their community health needs assessment. McLean County fared slightly worse than the state average in adult obesity rate, with a 29%. People who report being physically inactive, access to exercise opportunities, excessive drinking, alcohol-impaired driving deaths, and ratios of patients to primary care physicians and dentists. When I see rankings, that concerns me. I think that we can, as community members, do to address this. So that's the concern of Rodriguez. And the programs to combat obesity are a part of the Community Health Improvement Plan, Rodriguez says. McLean County fared better in areas such as adult smoking rate, which is at 15%, diabetes monitoring, mammography screening, education levels, percentage of children living in poverty, and unemployment. Livingston County fared worse than the state average for obesity, which was 31%, And physical inactivity, access to exercise opportunities, access to healthcare providers, and education. We live in a very, very rural county, Fogarty said, offering fitness classes and attracting healthcare providers can be more difficult. But the county fared better in areas including rates of sexually transmitted infections, or STIs, and mammography screening. We have tried to be proactive with STI testing, and the efforts are reflective in the data, Fogarty said. More people in Logan County, that is 78%, drive alone to work compared to the state average of 73%. But Davis attributed that to Logan County being very rural, where few people live in the town where they work. Piatt, which ranked 11th, and DeWitt, which ranked 77th, varied widely because of their divergent socioeconomic factors, said David Remert, administrator for DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department. Remert said he's interested in how medical school and mental health services can be integrated. So what can you do as an individual to improve our county's health and that of the county, of our county? This is an assignment that's listed. It says, here are ideas from the public health professionals. Make your health and that of your family members a part of family conversations. Consider decisions that affect your health and that of your families. Can you make better decisions? Can you ride a bike or carpool from time to time instead of driving your car? Volunteer for something in the community that you are passionate about. Your community and your physical and emotional health will benefit. Eat those vegetables and fruits. Drink more water and exercise. Stop smoking. Keep current with your doctor appointments, health screenings, and if you have a chronic health problem, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, manage it. And the health rankings were from the annual report of the health of residents of Illinois' 102 counties have been released. And here are a few of the counties in the ranking. Piatt was 11th this year, as opposed to 15 last year. Woodford ranks number 12th. That's 2 points lower than 2017. Tazewell stayed even at 20. McLean County dropped from 19 to 23rd in the rankings for 2018. In 2018, it is LaSalle County is now at 53%. Prior year, it was 46. Livingston County dropped from 48% to 54%. Ford County dropped from 50% to 55%. Logan stepped up 1% from 65% to 64%, and DeWitt went from 74% to 77%. So these are all rankings that public health officials are considering how to improve in the next year. In national news, we find that Pompeo could bring new life to the State Department. Outgoing CIA chief to replace Tillerson as Secretary of State. This is from the Associated Press. President Donald Trump unceremoniously dumped Secretary of State Rex Tillerson on Tuesday via Twitter and picked CIA Director Mike Pompeo to shift to from America's spy chief to its top diplomat. Pompeo's hawkish instincts may seem at odds with traditional diplomatic norms, but after 14 demoralizing months of budget cuts and staff reductions for the State Department, his conservative political bent and closeness to Trump could breathe new vigor into an agency all too often sidelined on many of the nation's most pressing national security matters. Pompeo, the outgoing CIA chief, will bring a new blunt speaking style to the job of Secretary of State, strikingly different from Tillerson's understated approach. Pompeo's arrival in Foggy Bottom also promises far more aggressive stance on Iran and North Korea, and he'll at least start with Trump's full confidence, something Tillerson never had. One of the most important jobs of the Secretary of State is to make clear to the world the president's policies and priorities. Senator Lindsey Graham, an establishment Republican and initial Tillerson backer, said Tuesday, after Trump announced via Twitter that Pompeo would replace Tillerson. No one has a stronger relationship with President Trump than Mike Pompeo. The relationship will empower charges. The relationship between Pompeo and the president will empower him throughout his tenure as Secretary of State. This is according to Mitch McConnell. The plan to oust Tillerson had been drawn up months ago, but the timing caught even senior White House officials unaware. The firing was just the latest in an exodus of administration officials, including those in Trump's inner circle, with the president staff setting records for staff turnover and several other cabinet secretaries facing ethics investigations. Trump said his nominating the CIA's deputy director, Gina Haspel, to take over for Pompeo at the intelligence agency, if confirmed, Haspel could be the CIA's first female director. Tillerson had been widely criticized for an aloof management style, which had alienated droves of career diplomats and driven many of the agency's senior brass into early retirement. But his foreign policy was far less controversial, as he hewed to make the agency's pragmatic approach from climate change to free trade agreements and to preserving the Iran nuclear deal, even when that put him at odds with his president and his most conservative supporters. In Pompeo, the diplomats and civil servants who make up the 70,000-strong department may now encounter the opposite, a fiercely partisan veteran of some of the most bitter battles in Congress, while he was a House Republican and someone willing to jeopardize his reputation to defend Trump, as evidenced when he called up journalists to try to discredit a New York Times story outlining Trump campaign connections to Russia. But Pompeo also helped engineer a detente between Trump and the U.S. intelligence agencies after the incoming president likened them to Nazis. In doing so, Pompeo never lost his access to Trump or experienced a mass revolt to his leadership like Tillerson faced at the State Department. Tillerson's ouster is a sign of continued turbulence in the U.S. foreign policy, said Jessica Chen Weiss, a Cornell University professor. A potential silver lining is that the State Department will fare better under someone who has Trump's ear. Immediately, there were calls for Pompeo to abandon Tillerson policies to shrink the department and empower marginalized diplomats. Ford County men suspects in bombing of Minnesota mosque. Four Ford County men have been implicated in the bombing of a Minnesota mosque and attempted bombing of a Champaign clinic were charged in federal court with possession of a machine gun. Michael B. Harry, 47, Joe Morris, 22, Michael McWhorter, 29, and Ellis Mack, 18, all of Clarence, were arrested by FBI agents Tuesday on the weapons charges. Harris was arrested as he was traveling to court to a court appearance in Ford County on an assault charge. The arrests were announced Tuesday by John E. Childress, U.S. Attorney for Central District of Illinois, and FBI Special Agent Sean Cox. According to a 16-page probable cause statement fielded in U.S. District Court of Urbana, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives received a tip on February the 19th about potential bomb-making materials at the home of Harry's parents in Clarence. Law enforcement also had received information in December from confidential sources who said Harry possessed guns and bomb-making materials, according to the court filing. A source told police in January that Harry, McWhorter, and Morris were responsible for the August 2017 bombing of a mosque in Bloomington, Minnesota, and the November 2017 attempted bombing at the women's health practice in Champaign, according to an affidavit. Four fully automatic weapons that met the federal definition of a machine gun were found by police at the home of McMorton's brother, who told officers that Harry and Morris had brought the weapons to his home several days earlier. Harry allegedly told McHorton's brother when he dropped off the guns, "The police will want to come talk to me, and can I keep them till I speak to them," said the affidavit. According to the prosecution, McWhorter admitted to his role in the bombing and admitted and attempted bombing incidents. The suspect told investigators he and others did not intend to kill anyone in the mosque, but wanted to, quote, scare them, that's Muslims, out of the country. In a March 10th police interview, Mack admitted to participating in a home invasion and robbery with the other suspects, authorities said. The investigation is ongoing by the FBI, Springfield and Minneapolis Divisions, University of Illinois Police Department, Ford County Sheriff's Department, Champaign Police Department, Illinois State Police, and the AFT. Our concluding front page article is a local happening. It's a review for Cop Assaults Altered. Sex-related claims go to outside agency by Edith Brady Lunny. If it happened today, the discovery of former Bloomington Police Sergeant Jeff Pello lurking outside a woman's home would not be investigated by his peers at the City Police Department. A new state law requires police agencies to request assistance from another agency when an officer is accused of sexual assault while on duty. Bloomington and Normal have each adopted new policies, and the McLean Sheriff's Department is developing its new procedure to meet the state mandate. A painstaking investigation launched by Bloomington Police in 2006 involving multiple sexual assaults and stalking charges against Pello would be turned over to the Illinois State Police under the city's new policy. Pello was sentenced to 375 years on these charges. The crimes took place while the former police sergeant was off duty. Much of the information Pello used to stalk his victims was gathered during work hours. Under the new law, once we become aware the suspect was an officer, we would have to refer to another agency, said Assistant Police Chief Clay Wheeler, one of the investigators who worked on the Pello case. Illinois and other states have reacted to reports of officers who have faced little or no consequences for sexual assault by passing similar new laws. A 2015 Associated Press report found cases in 41 states involving 500 officers who were decertified for sexual-related allegations involving on-duty conduct. No other cases of sexual crimes involving Bloomington, Normal, or McLean County Sheriff's Police officers have been reported since the Pello case. The Bloomington Police Chief, Brendan Hefner, said a request for outside agency help avoid any claims of bias. Normal police also refer allegations of officer-involved sexual assaults to state police. The new policy provides clarification for the supervision and for administration, said Normal Police Chief Rick Lechner, adding that the outside review is beneficial because there could still be questions about favoritism. The sex crimes policy differs from rules governing sexual harassment, complaints against police officers, and other public employees in the workplace. Hefner, who has investigated and was cleared in 2015, in a 2015 sexual harassment complaint, says sexual harassment claims against officers are forwarded to the department's Office of Professional Standards in addition to the city's Human Resource Department. The chief said department employees are trained on how to report sex harassment claims. It doesn't matter if it's the chief or who it is, the city has a policy to address it, said Hefner, who is awaiting a vote by the Senate on his nomination for U.S. Marshal for the Central District of Illinois. The 2015 allegation against Hefner was deemed unfounded after a review that also included a review by legal counsel. According to the final investigation report released in response to the Freedom of Information Act request from the Pantograph, Lieutenant Paul Williams brought the allegation to Human Resources Department, and Wheeler reviewed the surveillance video from an area of the department. Quote, since allegations had been made alleging inappropriate contact. Wheeler told the Pantograph recently that the video contained no evidence to support sexual harassment. The assistant chief said he played no other role in the investigation beyond his review of that video. The report recommended additional sexual harassment training for two employees who were allegedly involved in a conversation where the accusations against Hefner surfaced. The investigation involving Hefner was the only employee complaint received by the city during the past 3 years, according to the results of the records search. No sexual harassment complaints have been lodged against Blechner, Sandage, or others in the Normal County departments during the time frame. Blechner said employees are urged to report harassment allegations to their supervisors, but a policy exists for alternative contacts if the supervisor could be involved in the complaint. The accusation against the police chief would not be reviewed within the department but passed to the city manager's office, said Blechner. An allegation involving the sheriff would be reviewed outside the department, said Sandage, to make sure there's no hint of bias. All three police agencies provide sexual harassment training for employees. Here are some notes in today's history you might want to be aware of. Did you know that on March 14, 1923, President Warren G. Harding became the first chief executive to file an income tax return, paying a levy of $17,990 on his $75,000 salary? If you're interested in quilting, in the Daily Digest, we have a quilt spectrum set for April 13th and 14th. The Hands All Around Quilt Guild's annual quilt spectrum will run from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. April 13th and 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on April 14th at Park Regency Hotel and Conference Center in Bloomington. The show will feature quilts, quilt raffle, boutique of handmade gifts, learning opportunities for experienced and novel quilters and vendors. The featured artist is local quilter Eloise Sloan of Lexington, who has given away more than 100 quilts. She has made quilts to send overseas to wounded warriors, for children, food pantry recipients, the Linus Project, Build-A-Bed Project, and cancer patients and more. And in our Thursday pantograph, you will find that nearly decades after his 1990s Avida Musicom album was released, guitar legend Eric Johnson is reuniting with his original rhythm section for a tour stopping in Bloomington Castles Theater on Saturday. This will be in our Go magazine. And can you feel spring coming? It's definitely in the air. That means plenty to do in the Twin Cities and beyond in the coming weeks. Get a closer look Thursday in the Go calendar. And now we have just a moment for today's flick fact. Are you ready? The question is, before it became CIRA, C-I-R-A, the Central Illinois Regional Airport in 2001, and before that, the Bloomington Normal Airport, what was peculiar about the very first Bloomington Municipal Airport? Do you have a guess? Well, here is the answer. It was in Normal, and actually, even that isn't true. The first Bloomington Municipal Airport was then north of Normal. A marker still sits along Carrick Road in far north Normal to commemorate the original Bloomington Airport, which was on that site from 1927 to 1934. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be returning with the second half of the pantograph for Wednesday, March the 14th. Please stay tuned.